There you go.
Okay. We're good. We're good to go.
Let's go ahead and get the meeting kicked off right on time here. Thank you everyone for being able to be here. I'm glad everyone was able to attend this evening. And I appreciate everybody else who's been on the subcommittee continuing all the work and making themselves available this evening. Angie, could you start us off with a roll call, please?
Gary.
Present.
Megan.
Present.
Steve.
Present.
Tammy.
Present.
Wayne.
Here.
All good.
Okay. Does anybody have any additions or edits to the agenda? Looks like it's pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. Okay. Jason, did you have any, I guess you're the first one down here, but I was going to say if you had any comments.
I don't have any additions, but I would go, if it's okay, I'd like to just go right into the update and the progress to date on the recommended solutions that the Standing Lake Voting Task Force provided at our last meeting and the progress that's been underway since then. I did take the opportunity ahead of time, and again, I'm not assuming you all had the opportunity to read it, but I did send you just a quick briefing of where we're at on each of those recommendations. So I'll just go through them very quickly, just for the sake of just making sure we're capturing them, as well as certainly if you want more information on any of the status, please ask. There's a number of staff here this evening that could also be helpful in that regard. Tagging, we're going to get into here more in a minute, so I'm going to skip over that update because that's really the bulk of what we're going to be talking about tonight. But on the tracking system, so what we've been working on, the tracking that's been integrated into some of the tagging solutions. Tracking is critical to the no-key system, which we'll get into in a few minutes. There are some software hardware issues at this time. The company that sells no-key has pledged that all those will be resolved with their firmware and the hardware update, which should be in January. And that we hope that to be the case, and we continue to have our IT department as well as our city attorney's office working with them. You say, why city attorney? A lot of these processes and with technology, they have certain purchasing contracts. We want to make sure we understand up front, so when it comes time to execute, we're not still waiting on a contract. So we're working through those things. But no-key very much looks like a very promising solution. We just need to see the working product in hand so that our IT staff can go ahead and test that. And we'll loop back to that more in a minute. One more thing on tracking, because this was asked. The data for tracking would be subject to Colorado Open Records Act. And you could say, well, of course it's a city. But our city attorney's office did confirm, I don't know if that's going to be a concern for people buying boat permits or not, but it would be potentially a condition of the registration process, meaning people would acknowledge that they're being tracked and anyone in the community could call for that information as part of a Colorado Open Records Act. So that's one thing we did learn. I'm just going to keep going. Stop me, please, if you'd like. Detection sticker. The solution really depends on what is the final product we're going to be using for the solution, right? So the detection sticker was something that was recommended from the task force. The stickers that we've used to date haven't been fully reliable. With that said, we still haven't found yet the final solution on tagging. So depending what that component looks like, we'll be able to test that again. Boat modifications. The muscle filter approved. The muscle filter recommendation has been approved and is expected to be part of a new program. The filter is an estimated cost of roughly, don't hold me to this, roughly $280 per filter. Staff cannot inspect the filters, however, but they would need to be replaced every 6 months, and someone would need to show us proof that their filters had been replaced. So that's specific to the filter recommendation. The other solutions on modification, such as the holes and the T-bar, does look to be a promising solution. We're going to hear about that in a few minutes when we talk about tagging some more. But the other modifications, again, ultimately depend on what is the tagging solution going to be to understand what those items are. And I'll have a few more updates before we get specifically into tagging. So we've dove pretty deeply on the penalties and fees that have been recommended by the Standing Lake Voting Task Force. And what we've determined is that $2,700 is a maximum fine that the city could implement for specific violation of ANS. That's as high as we can go. I know we recommended much higher, but there's some legal ramifications that if CAO was here, they'd tell you why. that would be as high as we can go. Also, with that note, fine collection across the city for fees on certain violations, there is a gap in some of those collections of opportunities. So just something to be aware of, that as far as recovering all that, we shouldn't budget nor expect. Hopefully we'd never have to do this anyway, right? Because this would be a proven violation to get the full $2,700 maximized by any folks that would potentially violate. We just don't know. Lifetime ban, which was recommended, is certainly supported. Violators, of course, like any trespass process across the city, would have the opportunity to petition to me for reconsideration of their violation. But the recommendation of a lifetime ban for a proven violation is supported to move forward. All direct costs, we talk about fees and charges, all direct costs of the new program, whatever that program is, would be, we did agree that would move forward with the cost of the permit, okay? And a significant deposit was recommended by the group as far as, is there a different way we can get money from folks to, again, it's just another layering technique, a detour, a way for people to reconsider any sort of violation. Deposit is supported. We do have a challenge on our ability to keep the deposit, however, from a legal standpoint for a violation. So that's something that we need to dig into a little bit deeper. But deposits would be pursued and would be cashed up front from the city in addition to the permit fee. The one bolt, one lake. I just noted in the update, that wasn't initially fully supported by the task force, but it was something that you asked us to consider to keep out there. This is what we've learned. We're currently limited to about 250 boats with the current storage capacity. The city would be, if this was the year-round program and it was a one boat, one lake, meaning pretty much the boat did not leave the lake, the city would be liable for the insurance of boats. We haven't had great success with some of the security companies when it comes to these types of matters. So if we were to pursue one boat, one lake, and I don't think we're there quite yet for a lot of reasons, but if we were, the staff current recommendation is to FTE that with police officers for protection of the program, for protection of water quality, that would be secured actually by the Westminster Police Department. The Stanley Lake, the infrastructure. Okay, so the infrastructure issues continue to be a challenge. It's simply not feasible at this point to consider an expanded parking lot, security measures, and those sort of things we've been talking about for a program in 2020. With that said, it's not off the table, acknowledging that wasn't necessarily a strong recommendation from the voting task force to begin with, but it's one that we wanted to keep out there just in case a better solution wasn't determined for that opportunity. Also, to be noted, with one boat, one lake, we are learning about additional challenges of boat and maintenance operations, gasoline refilling, maintenance, these types of things. We think we can figure that out, but again, that would be something that would come hand in hand with a one boat, one lake as far as those policies go. Lastly, on the other recommended solutions, there was things, these are a couple of random ones, tracking engine hours. The tracking engine we learned could be shut off, so that wasn't as viable for a layering technique. The ANS state data tracking, yes, that was already ready to go for 2019. And finally, there was a recommendation for decon every boat every time. It can be done, but that would be about 8 boats per day to get on the lake, so we didn't really think that was a feasible option to pursue that. So that is a quick, and I'm just trying to go quick considering I sent this to you guys, not knowing if you had an opportunity to read it all, but kind of a quick rundown, because I'm sure you wanted to hear, you know, from all the efforts from the tagging subcommittee, several of the folks are here tonight, and they're going to speak. Really appreciate all the effort they've been putting forth. Also, you've had the staff committee, the internal committee made up of citywide staff trying to move forward your recommendations. So I wanted to give you a good representation as to where that stood. Other than tagging, which we're about to get into pretty significantly, is there any other questions about those solutions or anything I might have missed?
I'm curious when you talk about in the tagging system for Nokie, and I know we're going to get into this, why 1,000 locks?
Okay, so let's get into that right. Well, I'll pause that one for a second. I'm going to put that one on pause just for a second. Any other questions about any other updates before I go into tagging?
I don't have any questions. Is that all on the website? Obviously, we're going to have it on the audio as well.
Yeah, so all of this information that we're talking about tonight, including the presentation, we're going to upload as soon as we can, hopefully by tomorrow, if not the next day, to go online, including the quick summary that I gave you guys, like yesterday, you know, when I sent it to you. Yeah.
Will you also be sharing the specific software, hardware, glitches that the city's thinking the firmware is going to help support or the concerns in it?
Well, I can talk to that a little bit, actually, with the tagging. I can do that, too. So I can do both of those things, the purchasing and then the technical glitches. I'll get into that in a second then, too. Anything else non-tagging related? I'm going to follow up.
Are questions restricted just to the table, or are we able to ask questions from outside?
What's the task force feel on that?
I'd like to go ahead and get to the presentations first.
Sure.
Because I think perhaps some of the presentations will answer some questions.
And I tend to agree with that.
But I would like to hear the questions.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I guess just speaking to the Colorado Open Records Act.
Sure.
Personally, I feel like if you are given the privilege to vote on this lake again, like, that's just something you know to, you sign to, you're open to. I know the city has to look at every angle, and that's definitely an angle to, you know, that it's good that you brought up. However, I don't think that's a concern. Like, I don't see that one as a big concern.
And where we have CORA things, and I'm just providing some general information on this, is that ultimately the patron purchasing the permit would need to make that decision to get us an idea of what that...
If you're not comfortable with it, it may be
comfortable, then maybe Stanley Lake's not for you. But we have had situations on CORA requests that range from everything from divorce cases to other types of property issues and things where those things happen. Some folks may or may not have a concern with that. I don't know. But I just wanted to be upfront to make sure you knew that we did research that and determined that that the city would not be able to protect that information. It would be available. And of course, our legal department absolutely would make sure up front when a person's purchasing their permit, they would be well informed to know what they're about to buy into, meaning that they can be pinged at any given time.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But thank you for that. Appreciate it. Anything else other than the two no-key questions? And then I'm going to go ahead and get into that. So the two questions, one here first, I think, was the why 1,000 locks. Holly, maybe you can help me with that. But my understanding is that because we've asked for the integrated, meaning the system is fully integrated into the lock, it's not a separate cable, that would be a new product they'd be delivering to market. And they said, look, we'll do it for you. We realize there's value in doing that, but we would do so only with 1,000 on the order. Is that accurate, Holly?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so that's the reason. They want 1,000 ordered up front. So you might imagine we're not interested in purchasing something we don't know if it's going to work. I don't think anyone would agree to that. There's a lot of promises made, by the way, that seem outstanding by the company, and I'm not knocking them, to be clear. But we need to see those promises fulfilled first. So but they said, we'll do it for 1,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the integrated no-key lock for those of you that haven't seen it. This cable can be ordered in any size, so it actually is part of the locking system.
You want to just do it for Holly in case
I'm
going to
grab some other stuff then.
So that was the reason. Okay. And at about whatever that cost was, the cost per Noki, Holly, was $280 roughly per unit.
Yeah.
That's a sizable purchase in the front end for the city that we'd want to make sure that obviously it's going to do what it says it's going to do. Plus, at 1,000 units, that would be, we'd want to have some extra, but that would be, you know, double the amount of permits we already offer. So we'd be looking at a budget process for two seasons. That in itself doesn't restrict us moving forward. What restricts us moving forward is the company, which I'm not knocking, just needs to fulfill what they said that this product does. So that's as far as the 1,000 issue. Now, the other question was, what are some examples or what are some of the reports on the technical issues? And I could beef this update up a little bit more and give that to you guys. But the types of things we're seeing, and Holly helped me out here with Noki, is we're seeing random notifications and from where the lock was used or where it was open. I mean, from all over the world, okay? And that just simply doesn't make sense. The software is not tracking as it says, and the system's not tracking as it says it's to. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I opened the lock 10 times today just to get a count. It doesn't show that I opened it a single time today. It does show when I re-locked it. It shows the last location. This is the last time I opened it in the Gulf of Guinea, right outside of Nigeria.
Weird stuff.
Obviously the last known location. At this time isn't working. So those are the glitches. At first they told us it was only happening on Android phones because we were testing it on both. This is a brand new Apple iPhone and it's doing it on the Apple phones as well. So, and that's what our IT department is finding as well. So they're testing it on multiple phones. And it's just, it's not accurate in registering when the lock is opened. Like I said, it showed 8 out of the 10 times I closed it today, but it never showed the location outside of Nigeria. So,
and it didn't show any when you opened it?
No.
Okay.
And that's inconsistent with the promise of the product. I mean, when we were talking about this before, we knew the potential based on very specific tracking areas, geofencing opportunities, things that were very attractive as far as understanding if potentially there was a violation. As well as potentially using the system to do things like tracking for boats to be allowed to go in for service, because they're going to need to be serviced, and that way we can fence off an area to know that happened. But we're not quite there yet. Now, we understand with good faith from the company that by January we're likely to get more information about that. Specifically, the company said they would provide a software update as well as a firmware update, both, I believe, happening, and they're ready to go on the order of the integrated. The lead time for order of locks for Nokē for the integrated system would be about 3 months, I think.
Correct.
Keep in mind, however, just to be clear, that's not January, then plus 3 months. Now, we don't take forever, but we do need a little bit of time for our IT department to, you know, to test that final product just to make sure before we hit go and start selling it to patrons with a promise that this system's actually going to work. Because other than that concern of not being able to, you know, commit to the charter that, you know, in the outcome, we want to make sure that of how we're prioritizing water quality. The other issue is we don't want any false reports, because if there's a false report on whatever system we're using, it's a mandatory quarantine. So now it's a customer service issue also. So this system that we're selling, that we're endorsing, could be coming up with wrong information, and now you and whoever's showing up in your boat are now having to sit out of the lake for another 30-some days. So we want to be cautious on that. Granted, staff still believes it's a very viable solution. If you were to not know about that and just take it at the description of the product, just like we talked about before, you'd say, wow, this sounds like a really, you know, a high-level opportunity for us to do a number of really cool things from the maintenance opportunity of boats and whatnot, but we're not quite there yet. So Nokē remains Nokē remains a potential solution. As we reported recently, we just wish we had more progress at this point to report back to you guys.
Is there any hardware issues? It seemed like the update mentioned software and hardware issues with the Nokē lock.
No, I think it was just software.
That might have been mine. It was software firmware.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
The software firmware update would update just newly built locks from that point forward, or all existing Nokē locks?
All existing. They can push that update to the existing locks.
I don't know. This might have been asked, so sorry.
That's okay. All questions are good questions.
Would Nokē be willing, since you guys are saying, hey, we're maybe willing to purchase $1,000 of something that you're willing to custom build for us, would they do anything now under the promise that if they don't come through, they're fully going to refund the city any amount of locks, or that they won't charge you until they update that? Feel good about it?
So it would be $280 times 1,000.
That's
would
1,000
be,
units.
So they won't even reduce at this point, haven't offered to reduce the full purchase from 1,000. So a little concerned about that, frankly, because you're absolutely right. Why not offer that? I mean, potentially they could be on to a really great solution for many applications, right? So why couldn't we pilot that? We haven't got there yet with them. And of course, as a city, we're not going to purchase $280,000 worth of materials not knowing what's going to happen with those. Now, you could say, well, wait a second, could you just use the hardware function and not worry about the software right now? And the Nokē system, as it's sold, is so specific to how those are integrated from the geofencing and GPS, whereas another solution we're about to talk about is not Nokē, which is not specific to anything at all to do with software or firmware issues. With that said, Nokē, we believe, if the promises are fulfilled, could be quite a an interesting, quite a reliable product, as long as we're able to test it. Yeah.
Just so I understand it really clearly, too. So right now, that thing didn't tell you if it was opened or closed all day long, and it's sitting in Ghana somewhere. But if you wanted to open it, if I wanted to try to open it right now with my phone, and I tried to hack it by any means, could I open that lock?
To my knowledge, IT has not been able to open it unless I've set you up as a user in the system.
Okay, so right now only you could open or close it if you needed the cable to open or close.
To my knowledge, yes.
Okay.
Anything else on Noki? If not, I want to get into, by the way, we could, all the questions are fantastic. I didn't, but the next section will be about Secure XP and other tagging discussions, different than Noki, something we've heard a little bit about before. We want to talk about more today. Are we okay with that? Because what I'd like to do just on the agenda is I have a just a very brief staff update, and I want to make sure Britt and team, as we talked about, has plenty of time also to go through. Appreciate you, Britt, putting the presentation together again to go through that information for you. So the tagging subcommittee was endorsed by the Standing Lake Voting Task Force to come together because we needed a lot of help in understanding how the tagging protocols were going to work. In our final meeting with this group, we just said, look, we're at a point where we feel like we gave the best recommendations to the city, and however, knowing that tagging still needs to be resolved. So these folks have been working very hard and coming up with different ideas, different solutions, dropping materials off for Holly and team to test, and vice versa, having these types of conversations. So that's been going on, even though we've been on a break from the task force, and we appreciate your empowerment to that group to do so. So that subcommittee is primarily comprised of, Holly, help me out, the members of the tagging subcommittee primarily have been?
Britt, Lee, Jared, and Kevin.
Okay, cool, and as well as staff.
Yes.
That's primarily you and Rod.
Correct.
So Rod, our open space manager, who apologized, couldn't be here this evening. And so they've been testing and vetting processes. And so we're at a point in time now where that we feel like there's a pretty good product. In fact, we just learned of another advancement here within the last couple hours. And I know I'm not going to steal your thunder, Britt, but Britt's going to talk to you about that. With that said, we don't have quite consensus, which, by the way, is okay. I just call your attention again to our MOU that we all agreed to, which is that we don't necessarily operate by consensus, but I do then, my role is to go around and just make sure I'm capturing your opinion then, versus following on consensus. But the subcommittee doesn't necessarily have consensus on the staff side. The and Holly can walk us through, but just kind of at a high level, these, although it, by a trained eye, and we can talk about that, these are susceptible to going through without being detected. Now, there has been some additional advancements. I know Britt's going to talk about that, but staff still, at this point in time, subject to change and more research, and in fact, there'll be some, this cable was dropped off today, so more research will be conducted, okay? And we didn't have this when I sent you the email, but more research will continue to be conducted on these mechanisms. But going into the email sent you at that point in time, at that point in time, we didn't have something that we believe was fully detectable. Holly, did I miss anything?
No.
Did you want to talk about briefly, just very briefly, yeah, so we can get time to
bring yeah, I just in. I want to pass these around for you so I can show you. So these have been hacked in two different ways. So all or three, I'm sorry. So these have all been hacked in various ways. And clearly staff would need to be trained on what to look for in those three different ways. So the first one I'm going to pass around to you. What we did was we cut the slit in the top a little bit further to release this pin, and then we put glue. I think that's fairly evident. It's on the top there, so you can see where we filled it in with glue right there.
Yep.
So that was the first attempt at hacking that we did. The second attempt at hacking actually is we drilled holes in the side of it and was able to pop the tag out. So you can, if you feel those holes, That basically is what staff would have to be checking for. So they'd have to look at various different things. So that one or that one. And then the third one, we were able to dislodge the whole insert, but you can see scratches on the top of the white tag. And so obviously if you came in, you know, if you had any scratch at all on this tag, we would consider that potentially a circumvented tag. So if you can see the scratches on the top of that.
It's a little bit similar.
You know, just about that. And we will, you know, again, continue to take steps as far as how we can protect that. But it's not just the detection of things that we're as concerned about in this particular case with the scratches. If there was a bump on there or a scratch, it would be a 35-day quarantine. It's a service issue too. You know, we don't want to be in the business of selling permits and telling people because there's a knock on the tag that they can't use the lake. I mean, that's just not for 35 days. So we are not quite there yet from a staff side. Just to be clear, from a staff side, we're not quite there at this point in time. Granted, we have yet to even look at this up until a couple hours ago. To be able to fully endorse Secure XP. With that said, I know Britt has additional information, and I can come back after that presentation to get all the information if you'd like, but I'd love to get Britt up to go through the presentation he has. Is that okay, guys?
Absolutely.
So I'm just going to ask a question. So just with that scratch, that got compromised.
That's where we have a slight... That's where we don't have consensus.
But, you know, the answer is yes.
The answer is yes.
This one also has the bend at the top.
Which we didn't bend. It already came like that.
Came that way.
Yeah.
Okay. But the scratch, to be clear, what you just asked, that was how Holly's team was able to pry that open. And that's how that scratch, that's the trace of that would be that scratch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Britt, what? Is it okay to come in here and I'll move? Okay, cool.
Oh, I can go up there. I'll just stand up. You're fine.
You sure? So I'll make sure you get
it. Yeah, okay. As long as you're close to the
microphone. I'll get out of your way. Come on. I'll get out of your way.
Okay, so just for the record, on the recording, I'm Britt Terry. I'm kind of one of the guys on the Friends of Stanley Lake. I've got Jared Jansen and Kevin Work, both also with me. We're going to tag team and jump in. So the three of us have been intimately integrated into all solutions that have been run through the tagging subcommittee so far. So I'm going to let these guys, if we need to jump in and take little side roads here, we'll do that. And then if you guys want to stop us, you're welcome to. Everybody see tampering? Was it kind of evident, even though we didn't train you before we got here?
Pretty evident.
So that's important going through, and you're going to see a theme on that. We good, Kevin?
Yep.
Let's go through, and you guys should stop.
Sure.
How you do it? I tried to use Holly's format, so you guys have seen this. I didn't invent this PowerPoint from scratch up. I did try and make the white little October update things. From a tagging subcommittee perspective, as Jason was talking, there's not 100% alignment. Doesn't need to be. But I think that as we move forward with solutions, what we do want to do is get to a point to where we can give the tagging subcommittee can layer off a proposal that you guys can say, I either feel comfortable with this and I want city to vet it from here on out, or not. Right? If you don't feel comfortable with it, you can say, I don't feel comfortable with it, but ideally we're trying to get you guys to be able to give the city a concrete packet that allows us to start voting in 2020 and continue boating indefinitely, assuming that safety's met. And, you know, I think there's another important piece to any tagging solution that we're going to present. We always got to get better. This is not there's one program that's going to live for 12 years. It was crazy that we let that happen before. It can't happen again. Every year we got to come back and get just one notch better. Holly's going to learn a ton implementing whatever solution's recommended. She should be coming back and saying, hey, to do this better next year, I want to do X, Y, and Z. Okay? The tools and the little pieces we have, I think, are what's important here. All right? That lock is fantastic. There are 20 companies that build locks that do exactly what that lock does. Maybe not some of the fancy features that it doesn't quite do yet. But they've all got promise, and they've all got a place, and they've all got an opportunity. And so what we're trying to do here is say, look, there's several solutions. We're going to use bits and pieces of each solution. You're going to see through-hole tagging. It's absolutely in the proposal. You're going to see a very, very bulletproof swage and cable solution. So the new one, I don't know where it is, but the new one is, compared to the three or four samples that we did, are incredible. So I'm going to do this. Tie a knot in this one. This is an old demo. Okay, look at the swages on those, and then look at the ones in the final product. This is the one we think we would recommend the city going with. It would need a specification built on serial numberization and all of those, but they can build now a cable that looks super, super robust. It can be built in any length we want. 6 inches, 60 feet. Just tell them what you want, pay them the money. There's a spec that would need to be built for that. That cable, the beauty of that cable is that you could use that with a padlock. You could use it with one of these. You could use it with an RFID tag. You could use it with all of the above going through the same hole. Okay? So I think our solution going forward, don't get too fixated on is it that cable in that padlock, because I think there's lots of opportunity to evolve with what might be thrown at us. What if Nokē doesn't come up with that software solution? What if we get it in January and they say, well, it's not quite, still not good, right? That lock worked pretty dang good for a long time, all summer, until we started seeing issues. What happened? I don't know. They did a firmware update, whatever. It doesn't work very good right now. Anytime that's not working, I think having another layered solution readily available is super important, especially out of the chute. It would be disastrous to pick that lock, no pun intended, to pick that lock as our solution, have Holly get started, and have it go totally to chaos. I think we're trying to recommend something that could avoid that. Okay, get us in control, get us rolling. Then, as Nokē becomes the solution, ditch any other solutions. You could switch over to the failsafe. So we're going to recommend something that uses that cable, maybe that uses tags like this, and maybe that layered in RFID into the same loop. So you hook them, you bring the two together, you put them through the loop, you use two failsafe mechanisms, and then you inspect these to death. Visually by a trained eye, not a part-time ranger, maybe at first we got to overswing. I think that's a perfectly good way to approach the situation. All right? So we're going to look at some with the cable, and then I think the Nokē lock, you can use it in the cable form or you can use it in the hasp form, the classic padlock form. Master Lock makes those things and sells gazillions of them. They're not as fancy in their features, but they're a very robust company, and they've been selling them for many, many years. So we'll kind of thumb through those. So with this October update, there's the Nokē, whether it's with the integrated cable or with the hasp, doesn't matter. It's the Nokē lock and the whole software solution. The secondary cable, I call it a secondary cable, that's this cable. If you're using that cable design, you don't need this. But out of the chute, we would recommend that we go with something just like this, get them built, decide our collection of protection materials that we're going to go with for the 2020 season. By the way, that could be changed midway through the 2020 season, as long as you're robust on the cable, right? And then you put that into all of the rules. A lot of repetitive stuff here in terms of, just think of this as our cable swage tag solution, upper left-hand corner. The Nokē and a physical tag, whatever. You can use these in combos, right? And I would see, if Holly was going to go with, or the city was going to go with, a cable solution like that Nokē thing, and you're using this with a tag solution here, you're going to do the same through hole no matter where you do it, all right? There's nothing saying you couldn't have both going at once. That way, if that thing wigs out, you're still solid physically here. If we have RFID tags, which a guy will be here on an airplane on Thursday morning to show us his whole portfolio of RFID tags, the beauty with an RFID tag is it doesn't have to be physically, you don't have to visually inspect it. It's either broke or it's good, right? If you layer these two, you're getting benefits of all of these things. You're getting some electronics, some physical, you're getting a good visual that you can look at, and you got a pretty robust system. So the idea is this can be made into a good system, that could be made into a good system. They could be used totally in parallel. Go through the same holes, and do the same through-hole tagging, the whole nine yards, log serial numbers, all that good stuff that we've, I think, all agreed upon at that tagging subcommittee level. So the idea there is we have options, all right? Easily identifiable by trained staff. There is something that we would like to bring up here. If the part-time staff can't hack cutting these, no pun intended, if they can't hack the visual rigor of looking at every tag, we need to hire somebody who can. And we need to pay for it. Cost what it costs. Don't care what it costs. Get the best tag viewer you can get. Get him a microscope. Get him bright lights, whatever he needs. Let him take pictures of them. There's a ton of things you could do as a system to make that robust. All right? I would tell you that any fifth grader, if you told him what the game was here, would win at our task game, at our tagging game. All right? So far, we've seen that. We saw that on cables. We have never seen tags that came to us that said, oh, I didn't even know that was hacked. All right? We need to get a little bit more realistic with each other. If you drill holes in it, it's pretty visible. It's visible in your PowerPoint presentation. And now that you look where those holes are. So, easily identifiable. Sorry, I get too far ahead of myself here. So here's the Nokia lock. You know what that is? The cool thing about the Nokia lock that Holly and Jason maybe didn't mention is the lock is the same lock. Software, same software. Just physically how do you hook it to the boat. Only difference there. If you really want it, you hook it to this. Right? So if we did that right, we could use that lock out of it. We could use a master lock. We could use anybody's lock. So just open options there. She said they can be built in any length. You know what that is, 3 to 4 months from the time of the PO. It is a big investment on the city's part. I get the thing about not wanting to buy these locks if they aren't going to work. I totally get it. But in parallel, if we do something else that will still continue to be used through that same season, at least part of the season, I think you've got a good blend of both. You long-term get the solution you want to have, which is the fancy one with the best software. This one here is a little more old school, just as functional, right? Should have layered safety to there. We did have some trouble with cables and swaging, right? We had some throwaway samples. The city hacked a couple. I would tell you any eighth grader could probably tell which one of those was hacked. It's also in your packet, right? Trained eye, if we can't get somebody with a trained enough eye, let's pay for somebody. The new one, I think everybody gets a chance. Come up here and look at them. The new one's pretty robust. It's absolutely cylindrical. It's got no lines up and down it. The earlier ones had lines where the thing was swaged together, and we went to stainless steel on that. So that metal's hard as heck. All right, aluminum, not too hard to Dremel tool out. Stainless steel, get on it. It's going to get hot. It's going to do all sorts of other weird things, like melt your little plastic cable that it's hooked to. They'll melt the outside sheathing. So we'll see as the vetting process goes. I did mention up here an RFID loop. We had early on been down RFID, and they wouldn't return Holly's calls. We've got calls now return, and we got a guy on an airplane that will arrive here Thursday. We're going to look at RFID tags. We may come back with a thing that says, in addition to this, we want to use these three components as a go-forward old-school solution, and the new-school solution, you know, that's going to carry its own direction. Here's a hacked one. So if you guys are following along on the slides, I'm sorry. Hopefully they're in the same order. Mm-hmm. The top one looks hacked. If Holly would have had that one, it's so visible that, you know, now we've gone away from that little plastic coating. All that did is made it easier for you to hide stuff. Without it, it's pretty hard to hide stuff. The other thing of interest on this one is where we put the laser etching. If you decide you're going to cut that, you got to deal with that laser etching somehow, some way. Okay? Again, a trained eye's got to look at these things. So talk about physical tagging. I think we've kind of talked about that. Holly's group has done a great job of kind of giving us examples of where we're gonna have attack points. No matter what solution we have, we should have a little kit for the people administering the solution that says, hey, here's the attack points. And that kit should grow, right? Pictures, people trying to I mean, part of that is just all in your inspection and all in your training tools. Without those, you know, I would say that you've got a good solution day one, and then 12 years later, it might look not so good. Okay, so let's evolve as we go, get better. So I think that's super important. These aren't, you know, the first ones, these aren't exactly production. They did a really nice job of painting Stanley Lake on the inside. They also have a barcode label on the top that matches that, so that you can't take the outside sheath off and buy a new one off Amazon and put it over the top. Now you would have been loose for a little bit and then put a new one. These match, okay, from the company with the same serial number, and they do match, and they print them that way normally. They just didn't do that in our samples. So anyway, I think the clear tag is really good. Makes stuff super easy to visually see, or at least easier. I don't, nothing's easy. You gotta sit down. But magnifying glass and light, things show up pretty dang easily. We should have a thing that says, hey, if the little barbs that hold it in there are in any way, shape, or form rounded, which is what happens if you just pull it out, that's a no-go, right? Your flag, we take pictures of it, we do whatever. The guy might be able to argue that he didn't do it, but you're busted. Same with the RFID thing. You pull your RFID thing, the antenna signal doesn't send a signal. The way those things work is when you get your cell phone close to them, they're going to give you a thumbs up or a thumbs down on whether or not that's a valid RFID signal coming out of the device. If you break it, it'll give you a thumbs down. Done, right there, you're flagged. All your stuff's going in a thing, and you're already into the quarantine process, which has got to be designed. But, you know, obviously, as Jason was saying, you can go back and say it didn't happen. You can petition. You can do all those things. But I think a pretty robust solution. Questions about tags, cables, swages, what I miss?
Simply, it's just as far as the visual goes, we know where the tag points are on those XP. That's what we're striving for, as a system that you can tell when they tamper with it. So if they attack those three points on those tags, and if you look at them, when you drill a hole through the plastic, you can't get rid of that hole. You can fill it, but you can see it, because now you went from a clear piece of plastic to whatever you're filling with. When you etch the plastic, it essentially etches your design in that plastic sheathing. So that's the beauty of those XP locks, is they're easily detectable. And, you know, it'd be up to the boaters and the rangers when they're getting tagged to make sure their tag, when they get tagged, doesn't have any pre-existing scratches on it. And it's pretty simple. And if you look at those tags, and again, I'm sure you guys have all looked. Maybe we can pass them out to other people. I don't know. But they're pretty visual. I don't know if you guys can chime in later when we're done on how easy or not it is to see. And the other thing with the RFID tag that I think is very important is it's like the no-key lock in the sense of you don't know where to start. So if I got that no-key lock, I don't know how to begin to hack it because there's no key for it. I don't have a system or a program or anything to log in to tell the lock to open. And the RFID tag is the same. You can get it open and try and close it, but you have no way of telling, as the guy doing the hacking, that your kill switch has been activated or not. And those are very simple. They just lose connection. There's no getting it back. It's a one-time use tag as soon as it's activated. And that is a cell phone program, and that's a drag-and-drop system that can be integrated in the city's current app that they use right now with the state app.
And they have an integrated serial number into that. So there is integrated digits in its signal, and there's also a custom stamp to wherever the company that invented them is. So it would say Stanley Lake and some serial numbers. You'd have to know what those were, and you're not going to know. It's just going to come and give you a thumbs down.
And you don't have to do a serial number. You can do an RF code on it, so that you could never even predict as somebody trying to predict where the range of that number is serialized to try to work. There's just no way of knowing as far as somebody trying to predict to cheat that system.
Okay, so let me catch up to my silly slides. I apologize. Okay, so that's the last of, like, inspection. Inspection's crucial. I think you got to have the hacker's hand kit so that person who's inspecting locks, I would envision that you can inspect locks one-to-one as they came on the lake to try and get on. I would also expect that we had some recommendations before to quarantine all the locks and have a random inspection process for a while. Might not need to do that forever, but at first, as I said, overswing. Nelson's not to overswing. Costs a little bit of manpower, a little bit of exercise. You learn a lot. As we learn a lot, you can relax where it's possible, right? I think that stage of implementation, the ranger staff is fully capable of making decisions that says yes or no, we don't. We relax or we don't. When do we get rid of this lock altogether and go with that one? They would have data behind that that says, hey, we're comfortable. We did 4,000 lock opening and closed last month, and we didn't have a single one in the Arabian Sea, right? That's good news. At that point, you ought to be able to talk about what we're doing with the rest of the system. Okay, so if you look at this GPS monitor, I think all the stuff the Noki has is so cool. There are other paddle locks that have nearly all of those, and we've only really vetted one. Okay, now that's because Holly had a limited amount of time. It definitely has some really cool characteristics. But if we're going back and it doesn't start working in this January software update, there are 10 other locks on the market. We could order that day. At that point, though, you've still got some more goodies to play with from a security system and getting 2020 boating to happen. Secure swage tag solution, talked about that. Super tight inspection at first. Through-hole tagging, that goes without saying. Utilize the WID program, right? All of these are layers that are giving us multiple more zeros of security in terms of how the system is run and what the overall effectiveness of the system is for the lake. Okay, I think that's a pretty inclusive list. Here's the last thing I wanted to bring up, right? We're approaching the 3-month. If any programs take any time to get, even these are going to take some time. It's not 3 months, but it is some time. We've got to develop a spec. The city's got to pass a purchase order over that says, I want my serialization to look like this. I want them to be this long. Even though it seems like we've had all summer to work on this, we still got to hurry. If we want that for this season, we need to commit and hurry. Not going to buy the padlock. I get it. Let's go ahead and get going down another path. So what we're trying to do as a task subcommittee is to actually give you guys, hey, here's the two solutions. We would recommend that they be done kind of as in parallel as you can, but you can only purchase one right now. And I believe in the next month that we could write up the specs to execute the old school part of the solution. The new school part, I don't think there's any debating or waiting. You just wait. January comes, you get a new program. It's either going to work or it's not. Even if it works, you're not going to trust it for a while. So you got to do some vetting. Meanwhile, you've got this standing there working for you. Finalization, do we do RFID? I think it's the only question that we have. Would you want to do the lock day one? You could do the lock day one and this. So it's kind of an and question, not an or question. Okay? And with that is all we had. So happy to take any questions.
And just a quick summary kind of on
the Kevin, would you mind coming up here to...
Yeah, sorry.
You can...
I can move that.
You're good.
Just a quick summary, since I know we've are hundreds of hours in on this, and a lot of you guys are new, so I feel like we're flying through it, and I don't know if you guys are playing catch-up or not. But just the city is already taking some risk right now in their water as far as they have paddle boarders and canoes. So that's a very, very low risk, and they're willing to take that. So we believe with these new implementations that boating is as low, if not lower, than that risk now once this is all integrated. And you got to give the boaters some credit. They're not all criminals. They're not out there trying to hack every system to gain what? There's nothing to gain by boaters trying to hack all this right now to go use their lake, their boat, on another lake for a weekend or a week or something. I think now it's pretty clear if people are coming to Stanley, they're going to Stanley for that's their only lake. That is their one lake. With that being said, just a quick integration on what we're proposing to the city. You got the $2,700 fine, you have the lifetime ban, and that's publicly known to the CORAC, so everyone will know who that person was. And that person knowing that he has that one time to tag this, because he doesn't get this tag, multiple tags anymore. He has one shot to try and hack that and feel he's confident enough to go push that through the city. So with that being said, it's a through-hole system, which we've all agreed on is unhackable. We have this fully detectable, I should say. You can't repair your boat. this new swaging system, I believe the city will come back. That's pretty solid. It's very easily, with three systems back, we were easily detectable by those pictures we showed you. Now three versions past that. And then this XP lock, we know where the hack points are. Given a, you know, maybe a magnifying glass and some light, it's easily seen. Any, you're going to be looking at hundreds of these a day as far as the rangers are concerned. And anything that is not perfect, it's a flow chart. You go down to the next sign of, is it hacked? And that's not even the only system on this table. You're then using the RFID tag, which I have one here. This wouldn't be the exact one we are using. And I know this is the first time you're seeing that, but we'll know more Thursday. And that's once it's locked in, it's hot. And once it comes unlocked, it's a kill. It's, you can no longer whatever you do to activate that. And the list just keeps, I mean, the layers just keep going and going and going. And it's just at some point, like, how much is too much? And that's why we're trying to overswing here. And then you can always, throughout the season, take back what you feel is just a little more redundant. But I think this definitely brings the risk of trailer boating below the risk of a canoe or a paddleboarder that can easily go to other lakes where the boaters now wouldn't be able to because of the system. Is there anything?
I had one
Jared?
Question.
Okay, shoot.
On that one XP one that had the scratch,
mm-hmm.
was that caused from them trying to pry it?
Well, Holly doesn't tell you. I don't know what they did. I didn't see that.
Because I get the pictures on the side on it, but that one's still...
Sure, I mean, this plastic is fairly soft, but it's hard enough to where if you're scratching it like these ones are, you're definitely tampering with it, which is very
evident. What were they doing, though? They were trying to pry the top off it.
Yeah, they got it out.
Holly, didn't you say that one of those you got scratched already? It came in?
I didn't bring that one. Oh. These are the ones that we actually were able to
open. And boaters would be well aware of protecting these on their boat, whether they got to put a little cover around them or whatever, so when they're driving down the street. That's something from the boating community, asking people. They have no problem doing a little...
We're going to make friends with Stanley Lake.
A little neoprene zip cover for it. So it
Crown Royal bags.
So that would be a, you know, if that worry is you just sitting outside that it's going to get scratched. Then.
Well, and it'd be up to staff to make sure that when we're putting one on the boat, there's not a scratch on it. Yeah.
And I think if you make this pretty commonly aware of everybody in the boating community, tell them, tag your boat, maybe you should go look at it, Dingley, right? You're now on the hook for it. When you drive away from that ranger station, whatever's hanging back there is yours. And if you want to be robust, I'll bet you I'd be checking mine, right? And I think this one that's scratched, if they came scratched, I would expect that the ranger who's throwing them on there can just give it a quick, you know, four-way look, and then put some of the onus back on the boat owner. You own this when you leave the ranger station thing. You can say, hey, come here, I want a different tag. That's legal right there. It's not legal tomorrow. It's legal only there. So I think you would have a self-policing system there.
Has the city looked at RFID?
I mean, I was unaware that they had a gentleman coming in to review RFID.
This is all
pretty
new. Okay. So if you look here, those tags in the bottom left, those are RFID. They're a one-time use tag, and you can see they have the QR code on them.
Yep.
And then the other one that's flat, they can etch Stanley Lake. You can do a logo. You can do serial numbers, whatever you like. And that's all tap. So you tap it with your phone, or you have to be within a few feet of the phone. So you're not on the system. You're not activating any boat that's outside of, you know, boats you shouldn't be. It only comes up as when you get up to tap it. And that's all integratable with the system that you were currently using with the state that you had the city integrate on this.
It would be
website.
Compatible with the Stanley Lake app. We'd still be also using the state app, and if we have Noki, the Noki app. So
yeah. So this company has a drag and drop system where you can take, they'll give you their codes to integrate their system into the city's software, so they can, she can just use one app.
It's, well, no, I'd have, still have three apps.
Or yeah, an app, but you can still use it. It's very user friendly.
So the whole idea here was we had dropped RFID, just like we dropped other padlock vendors. We got so fixated on Noki because they had a couple of features no one else had. We stopped talking to anybody else. Not Holly's fault. She has a limited amount of time to vet stuff and get new stuff. as we started coming into the last crunch time here and it's looking like Nokē is the long pole in the tent to start, okay, hold on. Let's step back. What else did we miss? RFID, no one to call her back. It's not her fault. She called 30 people, no one calls back. Well, we persistently called 30 people, the top 30 in the Google things. Finally get a hold of a guy that really is interested in selling these. That's what they do. And he said, hey, I'll just come out and show you the portfolio. I think we should always be looking. The beauty of this is there's lots of things you can hook around that. Go back through all the ideas that we've had, right? Red tape and crazy things. There's lots of things you can do with that to layer a system. And that's what we're advocating here. I think we've got a good set of layers right now, right? I think we've got a good set of layers without RFID. With RFID, we get another plus because you have that non-visual tamper-evident device in there.
So what you're proposing right now is parallel. In conjunction with this, you have an RFID with the new cable. That's the system until Nokē does or doesn't get fixed. That's the system you're proposing.
Correct.
Okay.
And you could still run it in parallel with that, knowing that the software that they have now is the only software that can open and close that lock. Correct?
It gives you time to put Nokē and work out your issues.
I think the city's problem is going to be you're pretty dang pregnant at $280 times 1,000, hoping the software is going to get better. I get that. Right.
Which I get that too in the purchase. Like, that's a lot of money and it's a big commitment. But if that does happen in January, the city has time to vet it. Like, it could be possible within 4 or 5 months, which most boaters are on the water, you know, early April, May.
I mean,
this would allow us to quarantine boats at the normal time.
Tickets.
I mean, if we can go with this system and plan that we're going to do a parallel path phased approach, you start quarantining boats with this. You put that on them when you're convenient. Obviously, you bought them. You have to buy them first. So this just gets you around the big swallow pill of buying $250,000 worth of stuff.
So what is the cost of all of this? Tagging the both RFID
and... So the RFID tags are about $3 a piece, and that comes fully customized to the city's needs.
But it's a one-time, one-use thing.
It is a one-time, one-use. And that...
Oh, do you remember
that? Yeah. Yeah, that'll get you about
$5. So you'd have to purchase a whole bunch of them because it's one like $150.
Yeah, we already did the math on it. As far as you did about 6,000 launches last year, it'd be an extra almost $30 per boating tag.
Per boater.
Per boater, I'm sorry.
Per boater. Okay. Boating permit is the better way to say that.
It'd be an additional $30 cost to the boater.
Correct.
But up front, how much would the city have to be put out?
About $16,000.
The cables... For 800 of them are down to about $27 a piece.
For the cable.
These only things go down 50 cents?
Yeah, I don't think they were that. I'm not sure. I need to get a price quote on those. It depends.
It ain't $280. Right. I think that's the key thing is, and then we're pretty confident in what you've got in manual system. Not that sexy, but it
was. So you're only adding, I mean, under, was it about $60 if you add all this up? Per boater permit, which I think the boaters would laugh at how easily they would do. Yeah.
Anything's going to be amortized. Jason already said that's in his. So anyway, that is our recommendation as a subcommittee. Holly, I'm going to give you a chance to tell them your kind of the city's view. We have a little bit of a disagreement in that we believe we can make a physical system work. On the non-city side, believe that we can make a system work.
Because the XP's weakness that Holly's afraid of is what the RFID tag over compensates for.
So at this point, we're kind of finished, right? And as far as I'm concerned, we can give you this in any consumable way you'd like it. We can write it up more formally. You can just take our presentation and say that's one of our solutions that's been presented. But our goal on our side of the table was to get you guys something in your hand that you could think about, mull over, hand back to the city and say, hey, this seems logical, you guys vet this. Or say, hey, we have these caveats about it. And you can still hand it over, even if you have caveats, right? It's in the agreement.
Yeah, I'd like to hear what Holly and Jason have to say. I don't think you've, it sounds to me like this is new. The cable's new and RFID, so you haven't had a chance to vet what their proposal is as of today. But what are your initial thoughts on
this? I'll offer this, is that the tagging subcommittee, who's been doing a fantastic job, and thank you again so much for the thorough information. The last time the tagging committee met, which is the time I sent you the information, had information that was not fully endorsed. And so, you know, this is great new information. A potential outcome would be the tagging committee needs to get back together with ample time to review the new options. Because as it stood at the last meeting, and not fully, to be fair, there was a difference of opinion about the Secure XP being a viable tag. And as we go back to, you know, the checklist, and I know it was just an example, but those checks aren't there yet. You know, when you go down the list of the things of the layering, GPS, no key, and some of those aren't done yet. So hopefully they will be, but we're just not quite there yet. So one of the options would be that the subcommittee could come back to meet, have time to review this. For example, I don't know, and I'm not technically qualified to talk to this, but we've had systems like this. Granted, this is much nicer than we've seen. Thank you. We were able to slide these off and slide them back on, you know, with very difficult to tell. And so those are things we've dived into. The other thing is on the cost. I want to make sure we're up front on all the costs associated. So one would be, probably the most critical would be, is the tagging solution viable from vetted through the tagging subcommittee? And it hasn't been yet, just simply haven't had time coming into tonight's meeting. So we would need to do that. The other thing on fees and charges, we heard a couple times recommendations on getting a full-time staff. That would be a cost direct to the program. That would be all hours of boating operations. So I have no idea. That could be up to four rangers, I'm guessing, for week coverage. That would be passed down to the boating permit program. Just to make it, and by the way, I'm fully on board with you. If we're at all even thinking it's possible that there's an item that is it can be detected but it's hard to be detected, we can't do that. We need to make sure we absolutely can detect it to make sure we're protecting the water quality. So there's some great strides tonight, but the city's position right now would be we would need more time to vet that. Now, one other important thing. Previously, and you've seen this before, yes, thank you, perfect timing, what I was going to talk about, the target implementation. You know, it's not just tagging. Granted, tagging is a huge component of the work, huge component. There's a lot of other things that go into running the boating program every year at Standard Lake. We talked about roughly, as you see, you know, from Holly's previous presentation earlier, that time frame being about the end of October to successfully implement a start date in 2020 that folks are accustomed to. We're just, to be upfront, we're not there yet. I don't say we're not near there yet. We're not there tonight to say definitively that we know if we do pursue RFID or the tagging upgrades or the cable, we do need more time. And that time frame was about October, roughly the end of October, not set in stone, but we're getting to that point now that we also need to make sure boaters know what direction we're going into the next year. So they can make choices. Are we going to start day one or not? Is it going to be day 20 or day 50 or 2021? Or we need to make sure we're communicating clearly back to the voting community so they know what their choices are. But as far as reacting to this tonight, we simply just need another opportunity to review it is all. And we'd love to do that. And it's been nothing but collaborative and cordial and appreciate everyone's efforts to be able to do that. But we can't respond because we need to dig into it.
So I think from our perspective, right, we were trying to tidy things up into a tighten-up package so that we could get it to you guys for a sniff test and a hand-it-off or not so that Jason could go and act on something that was tidy. Because before, there were a lot of loose ends. What do we do about no key? Can we even start or stop? I think definitively we want to say that we believe there is a way to start without no key. There is a way to integrate no key in, and there's a way to proceed when Noki's perfect, and they don't all three look the same. We'd like to make sure that gets its full vetting as you're on that timeline, right?
Yeah, and we also wanted, yes, and we want to be, once that new program is finalized, the other thing considering in the time frame is again, we want to be very clear to folks considering buying a permit what that new program is. The program that existed in 2018 simply no longer exists. Bottom line, does not exist. We all agreed to that. So we want to make sure, so is that 450 registrations? Is that 200 registrations? 200 times what goes into four rangers, goes into, so there's a lot that we still need to figure out on that side. I'm not saying it's not possible, but we need to continue to work on that. And just again, that date, we do need to communicate out to the voting community as far as giving a firm start date. We're not there yet. We can't be there yet because we don't have at this point, a concrete solution for our charter. So I'll leave it at that. So what I was hoping to do tonight was to go and just try to see, based on what we learned the last subcommittee tagging efforts, was to see if that work done to that point met enough criteria for each member that you thought that was a viable solution moving forward. Given the new information, I don't know if we can really realistically put you guys in the spot to ask that question when we haven't had the opportunity to vet, right?
Is it a possibility to bump the start date back to the Friday before Memorial Day weekend to buy us some more time?
Well, I would say, as we talked about before, to me, to be clear, it's not the timing of how much speed. It's the right answer. Because the last thing I want to do is say, yeah, let's do that, and then saw all these permits, everyone's excited, voting's an awesome activity, and then it's, oh, wait, we're not there yet. So I would say anything is possible. Anything is possible as far as moving a date and then adjusting fees accordingly and whatnot. But I would hesitate going forward with the program. In fact, we can't go forward with a new program until we have confidence that it's going to meet our charter.
I guess my question was, are we already too late for the next voting season? That's what I was trying to get to. I mean, I know we're right up against the end of October here. We're getting there. We've got a new system here that we're going to need time to vet.
Well,
is it even going to be there in time?
I think that's a fair question. At the same time, I would hope everyone would have, I mean, if people knew they can get on the water, they'd want to at least try that solution, right? I mean, I can't have Holly and team tied to the date. Give me the typical start date. I would say Memorial Day, but really around the time people, yeah. I don't want to tie it, you know.
May 1st, but the 34-day quarantine would start end of March.
Right. So we have quarantine issues and we have some other things, but I'm not interested as much as that being the priority, to be blunt, as I am. The priority being this is going to work, and we're going to get a full voting season out of it without concern that people are violating the processes without being able to tell clearly that there has been a problem.
Okay, well, so you mentioned a word that you said full voting season. So are we committed to having a full commoting? Would the voters be willing to miss 3 or 4 weeks of the voting season? Or are we saying, nope, it's not going to work, 2020 is a done deal?
No one's saying that. What we need you guys to look at is the technical solutions we're going to use to tag votes.
Right.
Let Jason worry about dates and what can be done and what can't be done and how much it costs. That's his responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I'm positive when it's time that you guys have said, go vet that, please start now, okay, because you've handed it off to his staff to go and vet. He'll work them other things. This one's the one where...
I'm just asking because you put it in the presentation, so of course it brings up questions.
I just copied that from Holly's.
Then why was it put in the presentation?
I copied that from Holly's and said, hey, there's a purchasing activity that needs to be...
I think what we would need to do, however, in fairness to the voting community, is let them know that, to make sure, the last we've had serious communication, but we said it immediately and indefinitely. So are people thinking that May 1, 2020 is that next date? I don't know, maybe. But we need to make sure that we're communicating to say, yes, it is, maybe, no, it isn't. So people have choices to make as far as what they're going to do. Because the other thing, we can't say, oh, and start this date, and by the way, here's all the new program, here's all the new fees. So it does take a little bit of time. I'm not trying to make it sound like it's rocket science, but I just want to be clear that there are significantly more steps along that path. That's why I'm not interested. I can't have staff commit to a May 1 or any date until we know what we're pursuing for a solution.
Absolutely. One thing that kind of stood out, I had a dinner party at my house last night with a lot of people that don't live anywhere near here and have nothing to do with any of this. And, you know, I'm serving dinner and I have my laptop open with the city council meeting because I personally want to be informed on what's happening there at that level and who's communicating before I come to this. So all these people at my house had to take part in the city council meeting. So, but there was a comment, and forgive me because I don't know the name of the gentleman that made it, but there was a comment at the city council meeting last night that stood out, and it was that, you know, there's multiple systems of protection at the White House, all of which individually, yes, can probably be hacked. But looking at them as a whole, like, the White House is still the White House. It's still in the same spot, hasn't moved. You know, it's been there for a really long time. And so that has personally stood out to me, and I think maybe part of what we need to look at as a task force is this isn't just one tag. It's not just one cable. It's not just one lock. It's multiple pieces that are being used in conjunction to protect someone's boat from improperly entering that lake. And I think if we look at that, then it's a whole different perspective, like truly, truly looking at it that way. I know that, like, personally and professionally, I come from the boating community. However, like, serving on this task force for the city and protecting the water and, you know, hearing from the boaters, like, we've all put a lot of hours, but these people have put hundreds of hours into this. And I know we're late in October, but as a task force, like, we have a big decision to make tonight. Like, this is huge. Like, I feel like we should at least, like, push till the, like, we still have 2.5 weeks left in October. There's a lot that can be accomplished. We can see how far we can get in that time. We have someone flying in on Thursday. Like, maybe we set a recommendation that we push the vetting for all of this new stuff because it is new. Like, it needs the time to be vetted. We need to see if we're going to put RFID tags. But maybe we recommend that the city fully vets the layers of all of this protection and we see what we're able to accomplish. Because I feel like if we don't at least try, we're failing a lot of people.
Well,
that
I agree with
it.
You that this stuff needs to be vetted.
And I
definitely agree that, I mean, way back in June and July, we talked about multi-layered. We all talked about the having multi-layered backup systems so that we weren't relying on just the one system. And we did start focusing mainly on Noki. And I agree that all of this stuff needs to be vetted. I can tell you that I would not be comfortable saying, yes, let's go with this. I want to see what you've come up with the other system from the guy that's coming Thursday. I agree with you. If we have to have more meetings because they're pushing to vet it and they can vet it and say this is going to work, then that's what we do. But I can tell you right now, I want to see what happens with the RFID, that other system.
Before we talk more about what our recommendations are, I want to open it up. We had a request to have questions from the public. If I could just ask you to come up, here's the microphone, and state your name.
Sure. So, Jared Jansen. I don't talk much, but I have hundreds of hours in this with the other gentleman up here. I made the comment last night.
Oh, great. I appreciated it. Thank you.
I have a question, and I have a couple comments, but for primarily to you, Jason, is if we're looking... Well, first off, has anybody assessed the mitigation of each individual layer, what that is? So has anybody assessed and said, hey, the implementation of a revised contract with new fines, blah, 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 this is the risk that it's going to reduce? Has anybody gone out and said, here's what the ballast filters are going to reduce? Here's what the integration of the database would reduce because now you're limited to only these lakes you can go to that we wouldn't know? Has that been done?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it has.
Okay, so what's the result of that? Do we know what risk we're removing just by looking at those items and not even tagging?
I'd be happy to go through that, but I actually, if you don't mind, I would rather just do, I mean, I could do a report out and post it online because there's a lot of information there.
Right. I mean, because I came from the audit background and that's what we did is studies on what each layer is.
Sure.
So then my next question is, if we're looking for a tagging system that is 100% bulletproof, why are we layering it? Because at some point we need to look at it. But I mean, it's starting to become personal where I feel like we're being accused like we're criminal hackers here. But we need to look at this like the layered approach as a whole is a deterrent. I mean, I can walk, I'm not going to do this, I can walk behind my property and put whatever I want in the church ditch, okay? There's no mitigation for that. So this is protecting the water much better than any other activity of streams going in there. So it's just my comment on it. I mean, we spent a lot of time on this. Just get ourselves out of the forest and just look at it and say, what would somebody actually have to go through and what is their true risk to try and break this? We've got to keep reason in our discussions here. That's all I've got to say. Thank you.
Thanks. I'd like to see those reports as well.
Yeah.
How's it going, everyone? Brandon Greenwell, I'm a Thornton resident, but I've lived in Westminster majority of my life. Appreciate you guys so much for all the work that you've been doing. Had a couple of questions. I've been taking notes in the back just as we've been going through some of these things. One of the things that came out, that we were talking about Nokia not being able to track locations accurately right now, not being able to track the opens. But one thing you did mention, Holly, was you are the only person who's able to open those up based on the application that you're using. Wondering if that couldn't be a potential solution there as well, where the rangers and the ranger station are the only ones that have the ability to access an application to physically unlock that lock at that station, right?
That's what this does. I can set up user groups and specific users to that lock.
Right. So like, yeah. My point being with it is it necessary then to track every single location, knowing that it can only be opened by you guys when you're getting on the lake? And if it's not a hackable system where somebody can go in there and open this up, I mean, it would remain a locked unit until you guys open that up is kind of what I'm after. Is that correct?
Well, to Britt's point, I mean, you can buy a Bluetooth lock for $30.
Yeah.
Those are $280. And it's because of the promise of all the functionality. We wanted to be able to set up geofencing, have an integrated lock because,
sure.
You know, clearly other locks won't have the integrated. They'll be just a standard padlock. So, I mean, the reason we're looking at Nokia is because of the wide variety of features that it offers.
So with that in mind, I know it's come up a couple of times tonight about $280,000 being a significant investment for the city, their inability to do anything under $1,000. If you could buy Bluetooth locks or things like that that could be on a program that you can control that's, you know, unhackable from the outside, couldn't that be used in, you know, correlation with the other systems that we're doing for a lot less money, something where you could control the actual per units for how many we need for the lake, and then using that in addition to the tagging systems? Just to me seems, again, like a very layered approach that, you know, any one thing, there may be a little bit of room for error, but all of these things compounding seem to be pretty fail-safe from that perspective.
A lot of Bluetooth locks, unfortunately, can be hacked. There are literally conventions about that.
Sure.
So having the ability to have it record when it's open and closed was key for us.
Okay. I appreciate that. The other thing we were wondering about with the XP tags being used, right, you mentioned one of the big things was there were scratches that were evident on the one that you could see that, you know, they were able to kind of finagle the thing out of there. And so if there was a scratch, that would be a potential for saying, hey, this has been a compromised tag, you can't be on there. Much to what you guys had mentioned about having covers and having cases around those to protect it from incidentals, I think that using that in combination would be something that me as a boater, I would feel comfortable putting something on there, whatever that costs in addition to it. I know that most of the boating community would be happy to do that. And then again, like Britt had mentioned, taking a little bit of impetus to inspect these things yourself. You know, you own that tag when you're walking away. If people want the responsibility of boating on this lake, they need to take responsibility in their own actions of doing that. So again, we've talked about it a few different times. All of these things, one off, you could probably find and poke holes in any little thing. The best you're going to do is 99% on some of it. But all of these things compounded, I mean, it's going to be pretty difficult. Now you're talking about somebody who is mechanically driven that can hack these things without people being able to see it. Now you're talking about somebody with some type of cybersecurity in their background to be able to hack systems to do this. You're talking about a pretty talented individual to go and compromise all of these just for the sake of getting off the lake or getting somewhere else. So I just wanted to bring that up. I appreciate all of your efforts for doing this. I definitely appreciate you guys for all the tireless work that you've put in. I just want to see the boating come back. Right? I don't want to see it done safely like everybody else does, but I feel like with this solution and the ability to vet that and kind of a little bit of an urgency behind it, I don't see why we couldn't come to something that you guys feel comfortable moving forward and at least pushing this on. So that's my 2 cents. I appreciate you all.
Thanks for coming. One of the things I like about the Nokia is the integrated cable, because obviously you haven't had a chance to vet this. And all of these landings, she doesn't do anything if you can hack this.
She vetted the bad one.
Right, but she hasn't had a chance to vet this one. So
the aluminum one was hackable. The stainless steel one? But anyway, that being said, that means that,
right.
Period. and give us a thumbs up as soon as you feel comfortable with it.
Yeah, I really do like the integrated system too, because you could put 30 different tags on that. If you can manipulate or, you know, get that swage off, then it doesn't matter how many different types of tags we put on it, which is why I, you know, obviously like both systems. But
is there anybody else that wanted to talk or ask a question? Well, the last thing on the agenda is recommendations on the tagging from this task force.
Well, I wanted to hear from Holly, because it was said that there was a disagreement between the voters and on that.
And I mean, that's why I pass those tags around. I mean, it comes to a question of detectable enough. So, you know.
I think what Holly is trying to say, now granted, we have, again, reframe this. This was based on the last subcommittee meeting. But based on what staff had received at that point in time, staff does not feel those are detectable enough to handle the type of process and the amount of boats, as well as the customer service side. We don't think Secure XP is detectable enough for our staff to guarantee water quality at Standard Lake, bottom line.
So, Jason, a couple things happened today and some emails. I don't know if you were a part of.
And that's what I'm saying. So yeah. I'm tying that to the last meeting. This is all, yeah.
But with these locks, a big concern of Holly's was that you can get this clear sheath on the outside. You can get it from anywhere. She was not aware that it's also laser etched.
Right.
So they're combined to make one unit. So you can't just get that. Yeah. So that takes that element
out. Well, it's
out.
It's these scratches on top, because we've popped that out and put it back
right.
in. So you could put it back.
And you, at some point, like the Noki system, it's going to take training. It's going to take training to learn that system. Any system is going to take training. It doesn't take much training. In fact, I've shown my 8-year-old all these pictures, and she can easily tell me which one has been messed with and which one looks perfect. And she has not much training. And I think this is a very, very good example of just some minor training shows you that it's been tampered with. Somebody's put digged scratches in this. That doesn't happen by
sure.
it just sitting on
and
a rope.
And again, that's our recommendation. If staff currently already made a ruling that the trained rangers couldn't do this, we need to go down another path that maybe ain't a trained ranger. It's a trained tag ranger. I don't know what those guys are. But it's somebody who does this in a controlled environment, and you have someone in a controlled environment look at these, I will tell you, magnification and light, give your ruling again, because I think you should have the same people who overruled it the first time to come and look.
And that's
just
not
coming
the only
up.
Layer.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So I think that's a good kind of summary of saying that some folks believe that XP is easy detectable, some don't. Staff don't believe it's easy detectable, and other members of the tag meeting. Now, granted, again, that was based on the model and the process they used at the last meeting, which could be different at the next follow-through.
So is the next step your suggestion that we meet together as a tagging subcommittee and we just formalize what we got? I think we're still going to have the disagreement.
Okay.
And I think we can formalize the disagreement to a way that you can, under public scrutiny, justify that things either are or aren't acceptable. Because we're going down a path here where if things aren't acceptable, let's cross them off the list. We've been here before, right? Cross them off the list as ain't acceptable to staff, and we will begin to rework on that as a subcommittee. So I'm just asking for what is the most expedient way. I think the first one is to give Holly a chance to look at that. It's the only thing she hasn't seen, the RFID. Those two things, vet those, and then all we got to do is staple this thing with a nice cover letter that says final, and we would like to hand it to the task force, and then let the task force stew on it for however long that is, but hopefully not a long, long, long time, and then let staff come back and give us again a ruling, which will help us either get on to new solutions or and all this time the timeline, as I said last night in my update to City Council, not to decide is absolutely to decide in this case, and we have so far not decided.
And Britt, again, I understand that. And again, I go back to our charter, our MOU. It is It's not the date, okay? It's the answer. It's the solution. And so I don't know. I wish that was done last year, Britt. I do. It's not. And so I think that, I guess, then we go back to item C on the agenda.
Yeah,
and based on this point in time, where we're at, doesn't mean we give up, just to be fair. But based on this point in time, what are your recommendations on tagging based on what you were presented this evening?
Gary, you wanted to...
Yeah, so I spent probably about 3 weeks out of the summer up at Granby, Shadow Mountain, and Grand Lake. And when I pull up with my boat and the boat inspector comes out, first thing he does, he asks for my slip, give him my slip, and the first thing he does is he walks over to my tag, the green little tag, and he does a pull test on it every single time, and he looks at it real close. I'm like, hey, what are you doing? And he says, well, you know, people have been cheating these tags, and so I'm making sure that your tag has not been compromised. It's like, that's where it starts, right there. And we can add a bazillion layers to this, but it's right there at the inspector, knowing that it's been hacked. An 8-year-old can do that, see that. I love the Noki. Let's add it in. You know, let's get the lake back open. I'm looking, you know, like we said, you know, we need to look outside the box here and say, are we overanalyzing this? Is this crazy to me? It's like, we can add 1,000 layers to this thing. Okay, what is it going to take for the city to agree to get boats back on the water? That's where I'm at. I would like to recommend, okay, vet that right away. Vet everything that comes to the table.
We're willing to come back to the table. Like, I mean, personally,
via email,
you tell me when and I will be in this building. Like, I just feel this obligation to the city and to all of these people that depend on this group of people sitting at this table to decide the fate. And we've had a lot of time to do that. I'm not saying that, like, you should feel comfortable because we've had time. That doesn't justify anything. But I feel like we owe it to the people and to the city to at least try. Like, let's try this. Let's vet this. Let's vet RFIDs. Let's let Holly and all of these people have time to come up with that and get it back to us as soon as possible. And let's try. Like,
well, and I do want to remind everyone that, I mean, you know, you're asking us a bunch of park rangers that didn't know anything about any of this a year ago. You're asking us to hack it. And I guess I don't want to be that stopgap, if you will. I mean, I would like help. And I think the tagging committee is great at coming up with solutions. But I also think I could use help in hacking. Because right now it's just a bunch of park rangers trying to say, yes, this is good, or no, it's not.
So, and Holly, and I appreciate that. And you're absolutely right. I mean, we, you know, a step can be working with an outside security firm and having them do this on our behalf. I would say that's worth it in consideration of what that lake stands for. So I hear you loud and clear. But before we go there, I want to make sure we started a process here to get the recommendations. We've heard from two folks based on where we stand today on the recommendations of tagging. I think what I've heard so far, correct me if I'm wrong, is that there is so far interest to definitely dive into vetting whatever is presented, such as RFID, such as the new cable, as well as any upgrades to SecureXP. That's what I heard so far. But if we could just finish that, that would be awesome.
I was hoping to hear from Steve.
I still think we're on the same track. We start going down a road, and sometimes we have to switch to another plan, and we're good at that. And I say, let's just keep up with that until we get enough wins here on all this different tagging methods. I think that cable is a very promising looking, and I think, Brett, if your team can even help Holly, you know, hack it, because I think we're all in that same boat. If we come up with the stuff that can't be hacked, the closer we're going to get to our goal.
Can't be detected. everything can be hacked.
That's right. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
Can't get that can't be not detected.
Can't put it back together.
And I think we're at the stage, yeah, we might have to kick up a few more meetings and try a few more plans if we're going to have a possibility of salvaging next year. And I'm, for one, are willing to do whatever.
I think the other important thing, Jason, that hasn't been brought up is I think formally as a task force, you can say Nokia's back burner until their software's here. Right, that says something because January in your update.
Yeah, we could say that with
kind of definitive.
I think that's a given.
Yeah, that is a given that we believe Nokē is viable. Yet we won't know the vetting on that piece. Just like the vetting these, we can do somewhat in house or, like I said, outside security firm. We can't even touch the vetting on Nokē until January. I mean, bottom line, that we've talked with them quite a bit about that, so that Nokē wouldn't be an option to vet again until earliest January. Yeah.
So does somebody want to put out a recommendation? We're not an official board, so we don't have to do a motion, but I think we're all in consensus here that we'd like to have the time to use the or vet the proposed system here with an RFID lock. We don't know what that's going to be yet.
It's going to be that bottom left one.
Okay, so that's the one that you're going to look at as of Thursday.
And as soon as that wire comes out of that holder, it's killed.
Okay, in conjunction with the XP lock and this new cable and switch system, ask that to go back to the subcommittee, the tagging subcommittee, and if that is vetted through there, then maybe go look at an outside security firm.
Yeah, so there's a couple of recommendations to actually consider. One is to say, at this point in time, based on what you've seen so far, are you ready to move forward today and saying, you know, we're restoring boating based on what you see today? That's one recommendation that I'd like to hear from everyone. The second one being that I thought I heard interest to continue to vet this new upgrade solution as a viable option. So it's making sure, is there consensus to continue down that path? And the other one would be, would you continue down that path even without Nokē? There's actually three decision points there that I wouldn't mind getting feedback on. But the first being, based on what you see today and where we're at right now, forget about tomorrow. Are you recommending we move forward with what you saw today before any vetting? I guess that's the first question I have. Is this task force recommending to me that you would do that? That you would want to support that?
Not without vetting, I would not.
Okay. And
yes, I would.
I'd want it vetted.
Okay.
Vetting.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm the same. I appreciate you bringing that up because I assumed it was a given.
I just wanted to make sure. Okay, then the second question would be, and I think I heard it, is that recommendation on continuing down the path of vetting the new enhancements to XP as potentially viable options.
Absolutely, yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And the last one, and the final one would be, regardless of the result of this, going forward even without Nokē, or go the opposite way, just to make a difference.
So let me restate that. So you're saying we would be okay with this system if it vets out without Nokē?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's the question, because we keep talking about layering and, you know, how it was presented and whatnot of being, you know, important. Or the other way, I'd say, no, we gotta wait till the Nokē or similar like Nokē solution that provides that same functionality comes through. So
if that system meets the goal that it hasn't been detected, then yes.
Okay.
I agree with that. I just want to see the continued importance on Nokē and other technologies and paralleled solutions like Brett or said moving forward.
Awesome, thank you.
I would agree as well.
Okay.
So my understanding of it is that we would move forward with just this system if it's completely vetted without the Nokē.
That's the ask right now. Would you support that?
No, I would not.
I would if this is fully vetted. As Megan said, though, and as Britt said, I mean, this is a dynamic situation. We need to continue looking at not just future technologies, but anything that we've learned from this system as we go through it. But yes, I would be okay with it if this is fully vetted.
Okay. I appreciate that, folks. And I think those are really the three core directions that I needed to understand. So then going on to next steps, it's my initials on that one, too. would be, since we have interest in moving forward testing, next step would be continue testing, and then obviously. And what I propose is that as soon as we have an update from that process, we would ask the task force aviation reconvening. I'm not committing to a date, though, just to be clear. This is not about expedience. This is about, is that going to work or is it not going to work? So I would like to say somewhere as soon as reasonable, but I don't want to put a meeting date out there, right, not knowing if we have progress, because we did that before, and I'd like to really, you know, respect your time as well as the time of the subcommittee and staff, with staff, to be able to do those things. So what we would do is, as a next step, is have the subcommittee take a look at these processes after staff and folks have a chance to test it, as well as get the RFID opportunity and reconvene and get an update from there. Does that sound okay?
Yeah, we're going to, I mean, we only have one cable to vet. We're going to need more prototypes, honestly, to be able to vet that. Okay. We haven't seen the RFID tag in person that has the barcode both on the inside and the outside, so we're going to have to order some of those. And then part of the RFID process, I would like to see that portfolio and see what our choices are. So I'd like to be a part of that process.
So how many cables do you want?
I mean, I learned from these tags, like, you know, it takes time. You usually botch the first one, second one pretty good before you start seeing what is possible. So, I mean, how much are they a piece right now?
Those are costing me $80 each. I've bought five of them so far.
I mean, what?
The city would be happy to buy it, just to be clear. We don't want you putting in more expenses. The city would be happy to, certainly things that we're testing, be happy to get the
paper. So if we bought like 10?
Okay, yeah. So what I'll do is I'll just send you the contact I have at Lexco and tell them the exact last cable they sent me is what you want.
Okay.
If you order from.
So that was helpful. That as far as the meeting goes, that gives you a taste of some of the next steps included in the subcommittee, and there's probably dozens of others that we'll make sure we're giving updates to the task force on, if that's okay. The other next step, just to be clear, and I alluded to it, we do need to create communication back out to the boating community again. We've been doing some things. I'd like to continue to work hand-in-hand with the Friends of Stanley Lake, Britt, looking to you, Kevin, to you too, about the timing of this, and just we're not quite there yet, and we want to make sure people know that we're not quite there yet, and if people can listen to the audio and look at all the notes and determine why we're not there yet, but we're not there yet, and we want to make sure people are aware of that, because by now, around this time, we would have started creating promotions, marketing for first day sign-up. It doesn't mean it's not going to happen. I think we just need to be fair that we're just not there yet with the solution, and we don't even know what the program is, because we don't know what the fees are and based on what types of components we're going to use. So,
well, you did a news release that kind of already set an end date for that expectation. I didn't do it. You did. Okay. The city already did a press release that said the decision would be made in a couple of weeks, Don said last night, and you issued a press release that put a date that was slightly further out than that.
Sure.
But we have to now kind of live in that guidelines, which sense of urgency is good. We got to work together and work quick and work accurately, and we'll accelerate cables. We'll do all that stuff. I'm totally in agreement, but the timeline here is we can't dilly-dally or we will have decided, right? And you know, what the other thing, one last thought, sorry. Also in the same exact press releases where there is no solution, there's been none proposed, I am here to make sure that our tagging subcommittee does not leave that as an open loop. That was the perception that was written word for word, carefully reviewed and put into the public, and I think was factually not 100% correct, and we want to dispel that. Let's get a proposal over to these guys to get to you for a decision.
Yeah.
And that's our sense of urgency got poked way up.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I disagree with some of that, but that's okay. We want to make sure that at the end of the day that we're being clear to the voting community that as it stands right now, this second today, coming out of this meeting, we don't have a recommended finalized solution going into next year. And we wanted to be upfront about that. But tonight we agreed to continue to vet with the subcommittee and to get there. I just don't want to mislead people and say, yep, we're good, we're going to still work to a May 1st date. I don't know if that's practical.
Well, it actually sounds a lot better when you say we're working together. and we don't have a solution. But when you say a decision has to be made, now that wording was careful, right? And it was taken.
A decision had to be made in order to
directionally
to produce the program for May 1st. That's accurate. But we've already decided that whether if it was May 1st or May 30th or so, like we talked about tonight, people would still be interested in voting.
Yep, that's fair.
Yeah.
And we can order 10 of these cables or 100 of these cables and try to hack them. But one thing to remember is this is a completely unique system. And then when it's on a boat, that person has one chance. They can't go and order all of this stuff and put it all together and try. That was the flaw in the last system for 12 years. You guys are pretty much handing out those tags. You can get them from anywhere. You can get double tagged. You didn't have to come back with two tags. So people had many times and opportunities to hack those tags to where they felt comfortable to try and pass it through the city. They're not going to have this opportunity. Every tag is accounted for, and every tag will come back. And if they cut it on their own, they need to bring it back. And that's in part of the original proposal. And that's just something to reconsider.
I think Holly said it well. The first one the city tries to hack doesn't go so well. Every boater's going to get one try.
Yeah.
You better hope you're good at it day one, because you don't get 15 to practice.
Mm-hmm.
So I think reality here has got to kind of come into play too. So point taken. I think we've got our action. We'll go get some stuff, get it vetted, and then we'll try and signal back to you with a formal, hey, we vetted it. We'll sign off. We may not all agree on everything. The city's already pretty much, when we come to tagging meetings, there is one side of the room that says no physical tag will ever be used in our solutions, which I think is a closed-minded way to look at it. We're going to have to work our way around that, and it may just be that we have to document that.
Right?
We'll slide it across and say, look, we think this is accurate. Here's why, blah, blah, blah. But hopefully we can work together to something that's, you know, we've got to agree somewhere that there either is or isn't visibility here. Visibility of that of the tampering evident.
Jason, may I ask a question?
Yeah, sure.
So is your IGA with the surrounding cities dependent on these solutions to getting boats back on Stanley Lake? Because I'm afraid that if we come up with these solutions post IGA signing or execution, then the solutions don't even matter if it's in the IGA that says.
No, it's a good question. And Brett asked a similar question, I think it was when I it was last week or whatever, the last subcommittee. The IGA, just so everyone's familiar, is with folks that have the rights to water, if you don't know, folks that have the water rights at Stanley Lake. Max can help me with the specifics on that. And so that agreement between the entities is significantly larger, obviously, than just boating. Okay, actually, the boating component and all recreation activities in the IGA is very limiting. I don't need to know if it's a page, Max help me out, or so of a document that's much larger than that. That IGA continues to be at a staff level. As I mentioned to these folks, was that it's likely that'll be extended as it stands today. And by the way, that's not unusual for us to do things with IGAs to extend them to make sure they're finalized. And so the IGA that expires in 2019, Max, help me out, would likely just continue through 2020 until that document's finalized. But they're not waiting on this subcommittee, or I'm sorry, the task force for further input on that. No, Max, help me out. I didn't miss anything. By the way, Max Kirschbaum, my counterpart director of Public Works Utilities. So, know anything else, Max?
The IGA is a three-party document with Thornton, North Glen, and Westminster. We had a draft. We've been working on this IGA for well over a year. It's not easy to get parties to agree on something of this magnitude. At this time, there is not agreement to proceed with the draft as it is. Unofficially, we are working to recommend to our council because the city council is the only body that can approve an IGA. That cannot be done by the city manager or by a department head. It has to be done by the city council. The recommendation that we would, at this point, go forward to City Council with is to extend it in its current form for a year.
Is that answered?
Is any of the disagreement due to that little section on voting recreation?
I'm not going to speak for the other parties. They may not appreciate that I would be doing that in any forum. I'm just saying, at this point, there is not agreement with the draft as it is.
Any other comments, questions? We're good on our next plans. We'll wait to hear back. I agree with Jason that we shouldn't just arbitrarily pick a date because we don't know if we're even going to have anything to update on at that point in time. So, I'll be happy to make myself available as well. And I look forward to hearing what you guys come up with on this.
I guess maybe, I don't know if you all agree, but should an additional recommendation to the city at this point to be to at least look at the preliminary economics of having 4 seasonally trained employees to at least what that would do for fees or permits?
We'll do that.
Just preliminarily, it doesn't have to be super in-depth, but at least like start that.
That would be fairly quick to do. That one can get done really quick. Just run just an average of what that would be, and then average that out for the cost of the permits. Yeah, we'll do that. Thank you. Thanks for the reminder.
I see Angie's taking notes, too, as well as the recording, so that's a good recommendation. Any others?
If we could just also get those reports, I would be interested in the reports that you were interested in as well, to the level of degree that we're taking down potential risks just by certain pieces of this puzzle. I think that would be pretty eye-opening, so I would
like
to.
An example comes to mind is, I talked, we're not pursuing that this time, but the one ball one lake, we, as you talked about taking on the insurance of having all those, that's just an example. Granted, at this point in time, we're not pursuing that, but those types of steps were taken. So be happy to respond to all the solutions with follow-ups on risk mitigation, those sort of things.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Any other recommendations or questions?
Are we available to go meet with your representative?
Yeah, I can see about arranging that. I was going to talk with Holly after this. I'll fill you in because it's all been developing here the last couple of days.
Yeah, I didn't know about it until today, so. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you all for coming. Thank you all in the audience, too, for coming out. I look forward to seeing you guys at the next meeting.
Sounds good. Awesome. Thank you. Take some snacks to go, folks.
Just like you're
awesome back.
Great.
I'm going to start up. Yeah.